She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth.
Good morning.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We're trying something new today. Josh, this was a total ploy. So let me just give the background. Happy Monday, by the way. Josh just tells me they don't have any sound in the studio, so I'm going to bring it back 20 seconds before the start of the show.
Yeah.
Very skeptical. Did this come from up above? Hey, let's see if he can drive the bus today. Don't give me the bus to drive on a Monday.
You need a warm-up?
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday's fine. But not on a Monday. How was your weekend, buddy?
I had a great weekend, Chewy. I didn't watch any sports really at all. I consumed a ton of trade content with Luka Doncic being traded to the Los Angeles Lakers for Anthony Davis. But it was a pretty good weekend. You seemed like you had an interesting weekend. I know we received a text message from you with a little explanation about some pizza. Do you want to dive in?
What time was that at?
I'd have to refer to my phone, but it felt like it wasn't too late at night. It was
okay.
It was saucy time.
Here's the thing. I think my last birthday, Angie bought me an uni, which is a real nice pizza oven. Okay? But we had problems with it right out of the gate. Nothing to do with the machine. It was...
User error?
User error. So we couldn't figure it out. For the longest time, we had trouble getting the pizza off of the paddle smoothly into the oven. Kind of mushed up, kind of looked like a big ball. Even though it tasted good, it looked disgusting. So we kind of put it on ice. I would say that thing's been on ice for a good 6 months.
Wow.
So we decide to bring it back. So... Ange does a little research, and it was their website that said 10 tips to using the uni, which were all very helpful. So we wanted to go back to square one and just work on getting the pizza off of the paddle. Now, there were a few things that said you can't make the pizza and leave it on the paddle too long or it'll stick. Don't use too many toppings. Keep the toppings simple. Which I don't have a problem with. So there was a little apprehension. So we make the pizza, fire the uni up. No problem getting it off of the paddle. They said you could never use enough flour.
Yeah.
Which we smothered it on.
A little lubricant to get it off of the little...
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So we were so focused on that. And we had, I don't know, three couples over. So the girls... We're inside preparing the pizza, and our focus was to get the damn thing off the paddle. And we did. First one. Dyson was here, our second son. Right off. Things going, looking great, Joshy. Right? So it stays in for about 8 minutes. Dyson's turning it, flipping it. Comes out, looks wonderful. We cut it up. Tastes like crap. We're like, all right, we took... A step forward, but I guess we took two back. No one could figure it out, right? Now, Josh, if I was to guess, this is probably 8:30 at night.
Yeah, so I looked. It was 7:30 your time when the text message was sent.
So 6:30 you. Now, keep in mind, we had a late lunch at an establishment, so.
Maybe a little couple wine.
So we're eating the pizzas, right? And the girls, you know, this group just gab, gab, gab. They get a little distracted at time. So we had about a piece. We're like, yeah, you know, the crust is great and sauce. We're like, what the hell? The girls came out and said they forgot to put the cheese on the pizza. How do you forget to put cheese on the pizza, Josh? I don't care how juicy you are, but there are three main ingredients on a pizza. The dough.
Yeah.
The sauce,
yeah,
and the cheese.
So I want to put a pause quickly in this. Had you consumed the pizza, determined it wasn't all that great, and then later found out the lack of cheese, like was everyone eating the cheeseless pizza going, I mean, it's pretty good, but it just doesn't taste right?
We were still riding a high on the fact that we got it off the paddle.
There was such an
emotional... We didn't really care what it tastes like. We were going to address that later on. But the thing is, well, it's really two-part. How do you forget to put the cheese on?
Yeah.
And how do you know when you're eating it there's no cheese on the pizza?
Well, I
feel... So if that gives you any indication of what the afternoon was like, then pretty smart.
Part of me believes... It's easier to forget it than not to notice that it is not able to be tasted. Like, part of me thinks, like, I would sooner... You're doing a lot of things. You're making sure the dough, you're getting all that good to go. But once you taste it, it would feel so obvious because, like, the cheese pull and the stringy cheese of a pizza is, like, an essential part of the equation.
I agree. But it was essentially... What was the first pizza? The first pizza was... Sauce and sausage. But it was an Italian spicy sausage. So I think you got a little distracted by that.
So wait, you hold on. I thought there was only one pizza that was sauceless. You're contending that there was like you had already consumed one and then realized it?
Well, Angry, who I've talked about on the show before.
Legend.
Is doing a dry February, which I don't. He's he's a boat rocker. You know what I mean? He doesn't conform to the masses. He likes to run
that.
The race by himself. So he didn't tell us on the second one, but it came out. I can't remember if we figured it out. And the cheese looked strange because he was like putting the cheese in between. The second one was mushrooms and pepperoni.
Okay.
So I looked at that and I'm like, why doesn't that look right? Can I ask you another question?
Yeah, you sure can.
Do you put... The meat, you know, whether it's bacon, whether it's sausage, whether it's pepperoni, on top of the cheese, or do you put it below the cheese?
I put my toppings on top of the cheese. I go sauce, cheese, then toppings. Some places do mix it up. I don't hate it if it is switched up for whatever reason, but I like the traditional, like you would have where it's crust, sauce, cheese toppings. If you want to sprinkle a little on top of the on the toppings, I think that'll do. Like, I'm not going to be mad about it, but I think there's a clear order of operations there.
I understand the argument of you want the meat on top because whatever grease is in the meat, it'll soak, the grease will soak through. But I like encapsulating my pizza in the cheese.
So you want sauce. And then toppings with cheese over the top of the whole thing?
Certainly with vegetables. I don't think vegetables go on top of the cheese.
I got to be honest, I hadn't considered this, Chewy.
Because I don't think they're going to cook properly if they're above. I don't know. Just to me, I like my vegetables underneath and maybe the meat on
top. So pizza's been a thing in America for a long time, obviously over in Italy. It has earlier origins, and there are different styles. You're trying to reinvent the classic. Well, would you say the pizza you made was closer to like a New York slice than any other?
Like a Neapolitan, and I don't know what Neapolitan means, but it felt like a Neapolitan. Is Neapolitan just airy? Is that what it means in Italian? Is just airy?
You know, I don't know. This is the classic, the definition we got from the Supreme Court about pornography. You know it when you see it. I don't know what makes a Neapolitan a Neapolitan. I just know when I see one, that's what I've got there.
I think just people like to say it. It's fiancé. This is my fiancé. Have you met my fiancé? I love Neapolitan.
It feels like
no one knows what the hell Neapolitan is unless you're a chef.
It feels like a description for a style of pizza where it's airier, it's got the bubbles, and like there's little sauce exposed, which is not really common in most pizzas. You've usually got a good base of cheese to go in between the two. So Neapolitan feels like the kind of just skimp you and throw on like a big piece, couple pieces of mozzarella and let that melt. But I want cheese every bite.
Yeah, this had the big air pocket. You know the air pockets?
Yeah, of course.
So it had those. So I guess it was Neapolitan. So, I don't know. It all turned out. You know what? I'm just happy we got the damn thing off of the paddle. Because you need a starting point. So we accomplished that. I think we need to oversee, because the girls really gab.
Well,
the gab.
I mean, the gab increases per glass of wine. That's kind of how that goes there. So,
yeah.
Couple, you know, once the first bottle pop, the gab's going to keep going. Are you saying you're trying to take over the pizza making process in your place?
I think someone needs to oversee them.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you can't. Right. This is a teamwork thing here. There's a lot going on. Did you guys create your own dough, or were you using like a dough that then you stretched?
There's an Italian joint down the road that makes the dough, so
that's nice.
Very good dough.
Yeah, the dough is the big part there.
So now we won't wait 6 months, but it's one of those things you can't have like every week. It's just too much. It's kind of a treat thing. So
yeah, it's a whole.
We'll bring it back in like a month.
If you're doing it right too, you got flour all over the counter.
Yeah.
You got your all sorts of toppings.
Oh, it's a big
mess. It's a whole process there. It's not just you don't just roll out of bed and make yourself a quality za. How does the uni work? Is it electric powered?
No, it's gas. It's propane, and it has a stone in the bottom of it that gets like it's supposed to get up to like 800 degrees.
Yeah,
and then it's got the burner on the top. So yeah, we got it dialed in. It's a great oven, great pizza oven. So you said you watched nothing this weekend?
I didn't.
Pro Bowl?
No, I honestly forgot the Pro Bowl was happening. Like, I intuitively know that always happens in between the week there, but it doesn't seem like it didn't, like, even I'm on social media. It didn't even crack the social media sphere. It was all Grammy stuff. And of course, the Luka Doncic and Anthony Davis trade as well.
Yeah, I did see that. So, should it just go away?
I think it's probably better off. Jim, can you hear us?
Do it during the week. Do their little stupid skill stuff. I did watch Flip It On a little bit, and they were power walking. Did you see that part of it?
What?
It was, I mean, it's so cheeseballish. I mean, you have to be the ultimate football fan.
What do you mean they were power walking as in the game looked like they were power walking, or power walking was one of the events?
No, they were power walking with a football. I guess there's rules. You can't do something with your hips when it comes to power walking.
I believe you can't have both feet off the ground like you would on a sprint.
Yeah.
You have to have one foot always touching the ground.
I mean, it's just painful.
I think we have Jen with us now, Chewy.
Can you hear me, Chew?
Yeah, I got you.
So, do you think you watched more of the Pro Bowl yesterday than you will of the Super Bowl this week?
I didn't watch any of the Pro Bowl.
Well, you just said you saw the walking thing.
No, that was like Thursday. I didn't watch any yesterday, but two of our couple friends stepped up and are having the Super Bowl party.
Oh, here we go.
And now you are.
It was announced. We're going.
Mm-hmm.
It's one where you bring a dish.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Ange have settled on
wine.
Meatballs. You can't go wrong with meatballs, right?
I made meatballs yesterday. Let me ask you a question about your meatballs.
Time out. Give me a timeout.
Okay. Time out. 30 or full?
Hold on. Did you make the meatballs, or did you go to Glorioso's, get the meatballs, and claim pawning them off as made, putting them in a crock?
Made
them. You make the meatballs.
Made them. And that's what I was just going to ask you is, what's your ground beef to pork ratio on your meatballs? Because the recipe I was following.
Or maybe 3-1.
Okay. The recipe I was calling called for 50-50, 1-1. And I was like, that's a lot of pork. That's a lot of ground pork. So they're good. Everybody loved them, which is great. But I was like, I don't know about this.
Did you have them with pasta, or did you have them as
we made sandwiches last night.
Okay. There's nothing like a good meatball.
Oh, they're so good. And look, like there's so many different meatball recipes out there, and I'm still trying to figure out which one my family likes. But they all loved this one. So it might be the go-to.
Are you breadcrumbs?
No. You want to know what it was? I will tell you.
Polenta.
I will tell you the secret part of this one that I was like, I don't know about this. It was soaking French bread in warm water, squeezing out the water, and putting that in. So I took three French rolls, soaked them in warm water. They said 3 to 4 minutes. Soak it in the warm water. Then squeeze it out like a sponge, and it's like a gush, right? It's like a mush gush. You throw that in with the pork and with the ground beef, with the parsley, the basil, the eggs, the salt and pepper, rosemary, a little bit of rosemary.
What is polenta?
Garlic. I'm just trying to think of what else was in there.
I don't know if this is correct, but I always view polenta as close to an eggplant.
I thought it was closer to a mashed potato.
Yeah, I think it is. It's more like a grain type of thing, right?
Yeah, but I've had meatballs.
Feel like I've only had it in
using
things.
That instead of the bread.
Ooh.
They're actually really, really, they're good.
Hey, I'm willing to try it.
Can I make a confession?
Yes.
I'm out on meatballs.
Out completely?
Out on them.
Why? You've never had a good one.
I grew up in an Italian family. I would imagine they're pretty proud of those.
Maybe, but were
they
good?
I've been to plenty of places. Also, same thing applies to meatloaf. Don't like meatloaf.
So they're just the meat. Then.
There's something about hunks of meat that are that big that just, I could have a cheeseburger, but I do not, I'd rather a smash than a thicker cheeseburger.
Uh-huh.
It's just something about a big glob of meat that is really off-putting.
That's comfort food, Joshy, and you got comfort days up there when it's no mashed potatoes, meatloaf.
Believe me, there is a disagreement in the household on things like that because I'm not a big fan of chili either.
What about a meatball sandwich? Not just have to eat the meatball by itself. Out on meatball sandwiches.
I feel like you never end up with the meatball still in the sandwich. You have to like cut them in half, and then you're
right.
Negotiating. You're sliding all around. You got sauce in there mixing with cheese. And it's just a big sloppy mess.
Excellent point. They are messy.
But you got to toast the bread, right, Jen?
It depends. I like a toasted bread, but not everybody does. Some people like the softness, right? And if you get a good roll, you get a good piece of Italian bread, you got that crunch on the outside anyway, and you got the softness on the inside. Now I'm hungry, and these grapes I got over here for breakfast are not going to get it done. We had a lot of stuff to get to this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. There was a monster trade that took place in the NBA. A lot of people scratching their heads this morning. Would the Packers ever consider trading their best player? It seems ridiculous. It seems obvious that the answer is no. But then what the heck were the Mavs doing this weekend when they traded Doncic? We'll talk about that as the show goes on. Plus, guys, get your dialing fingers ready. At the 45s this morning, 7:45 and 8:45, we are going to play Superb Owl Squares. If you're new to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, we'll fill you in. If you've been around for a while, you know how this works. We got a bunch of trivia over here. We're going to give away spots on our Superb Owl Squares board, and there will, of course, be a prize at the end after the big game on Sunday. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, all of us, Gabe is back as well, rolls on right after this.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Where else can you get football analysis that includes things like dropsies and pixies and intercepsies and flowy? It's flowy.
Flowy.
The offense needs to be more flowy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Chew for a moment. Technical difficulties over here in the studio. Chewy's got to run the show. I know, not the most ideal day.
I think we should make him run the show off. The rest of the day.
I got the pizza off the paddle.
Is that a metaphor?
Was there any cheese?
No, there was no cheese.
No, I bring the cheese. We know that. Greg in Germantown also weighing in saying props to Chewy. He did a great job driving the bus this morning. So there you go. Folks are appreciative. A lot of people telling you, Chew, what polenta is. Italian grits, according to Nicholas. Chef Ed saying it's a cornmeal porridge or a type of oatmeal. Carrie in Mayville wants you to know that Neapolitan is when things are from Naples.
That's it?
You were expecting more? When something is Parisian, do you say, that's it?
We were debating why, because a Neapolitan I compared to like the Supreme Court ruling on pornography. You know it when you see it?
Yeah. Sure.
I don't know what makes it Neapolitan. It's just the look of it, but I did try and get to, it's probably just the style.
Okay.
Like a Detroit style.
Okay, I'm glad that you bring that up because we had this debate in our house this very weekend. What a coincidence. Maybe it was inspired by Chewy subconsciously. I don't know. But we were talking about our favorite types of pizza. So you got the cracker crust, you got hand tossed, you got Chicago style, and you have Detroit style. Now, is New York style a different thing as well?
Okay, New York, that's like a large slice, thin, you know, kind of floppy.
Yeah. So I have decided, bang the gavel, Detroit style pizza is my favorite pizza.
What Same. Is Detroit? I've
I
never
love
heard
Detroit.
Of that.
I like the spongy little, like the
So it's a pan style chewy, but then it's got, it's a rectangle. It's got the crispy corners with the cheese that's kind of melted. And
a little thicker, but not crazy like the, what do you mean? Nope. I'm telling you my opinion.
I'm just this saying, is what it brings prefers. Me back. It brings me back to grammar school where they used to serve that, and it was just not good.
But I know exactly what you're talking about. I had the same exact pizza that pizza seemingly was served in schools for 50-plus years.
The rectangle that fits perfectly in the lunch tray?
Yes, yeah.
Now, that pizza is fantastic, and I will not
Detroit
listen to any sort of argument otherwise.
In that pan, because it's an auto parts pan that it's cooked in, and the crust is not as thick as you would think, and it's airier, so it's closer to a super crispy. Like, I like thin. And then next one is Detroit.
But I'm starving after I eat. Because Dario likes the wafer, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we go to a spot in our town that has that, and I'm eating the whole thing.
Right.
But that's why I like the thicker one. It feels like it satisfies a little bit more, the Detroit-style pizza.
Have you ever had pizza on an English muffin? That is
yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, we grew up.
Is it
bagel bites?
No.
I mean, we got it from a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles book that I had. So we called them Splinter's Easy Pizzas when I was a kid.
Aw, I kind of love that.
Yeah, but you got to make them yourself. If you make them yourself,
correct.
Now wait, here's a big question though. Do you toast them first before you throw them on the pan, put the sauce on, and the cheese?
I'm not qualified to answer.
I mean, I don't remember from when I was 7.
Yeah. We didn't know this would be a quiz, Jeff.
Yeah. It's been a year or two since I've actually made one.
Yeah.
Several decades, if you will. I think you got to toast them first. I think you got to throw the English muffin in the toaster. Not major toasting, but lightly toasting, because otherwise it's soggy when you put the sauce on.
Yeah.
So you need it to have a little bit of like that crispness to it. And then the other thing I will say, a hack on the old Splinter's Easy Pizzas, is disc of Canadian bacon. The disc of Canadian bacon fits perfectly, obviously, like a breakfast sandwich, right there on the individual pizza.
I feel this is a type of pizza you only make if you have children.
Yes.
Well, we made it when we were kids.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't had it in a very long time. Don't have kids. Not planning on eating any sort of English muffin pizza
anytime
soon.
Before we stray too far on Detroit-style pizzas.
I thought that train had left the station.
Detroit. The Palermo's Detroit style is the best frozen pizza I've ever had in my entire life.
It's really good.
I like it that much.
Really?
It is so good. It comes in a special pan.
Yep.
The toppings are over the side, so the cheese crisps with the crust. And it is as close to you could get as like a served pizza at a restaurant straight from your freezer. It's unbelievable.
I love that.
All right. Question. What's the difference between Canadian bacon and ham? There is no difference. Why don't they just call it ham?
I believe it's the word, right? It's just the difference.
It's ham. Am I right?
Well, it's like, what's the difference between sparkling wine and champagne?
Well, it has to come from the Champagne region of France.
Maybe it has to come from Canada. I don't know.
Do Americans make Canadian bacon? I don't know.
Probably can't. Probably not allowed. Where was this Canadian bacon made? Detroit?
Apparently, Canadian bacon is taken from the pig's loin, resulting in a leaner, milder flavor, while ham comes from the hind leg, typically offering a richier, saltier taste with more fat content.
Not sure I needed to know all of that, actually.
Loins.
And hinds. Hinds and loins are things I don't want to hear about at 7:28 a.m. I will give you one other variation that we have occasionally done. While we haven't done the English muffin pizzas in the last, like you said, since we were kiddos, Dario and I have done portobello pizzas. Hear me out. You get the big portobello mushroom caps, okay, and you smash them. And then you do the sauce and the cheese and the toppings and whatever. And then the mushroom crisps in the oven. And it's like a crustless pizza option.
All right.
Very good.
Is that for health reasons or taste?
I believe it was when Dario was doing no carb.
Okay. All right. That makes sense.
He's like, because it sounds awful.
Yeah, because I'll tell you what, if I want mushroom, I'll just put mushroom on the pizza.
Yep,
yeah.
Right on top. Yeah. Sprinkle those suckers right on there.
Excellent point by you guys. Okay, lots of stuff to get to this morning. Obviously, you guys saw the big trade that went down in the NBA. Again, I can't wait to tell you guys a story about how I learned of the big trade that went down in the NBA, but that's next, Gabe.
Well, we were just talking about pizza, so you could taste all the what all the screaming is about with a hot deal at Festival Foods. Get your screaming Sicilian favorites. Original, thin and crispy, tavern style. Josh, you also mentioned it, Detroit style as part of that family as well for $4.99. Stock your freezer with a hot deal from Festival Foods now through February 4th. Buy one, get one, screaming Sicilian. Now that's something to scream about. Stop by your local Pick and Save or Metro Market store. Pick up Screamin' Sicilian Original, thin and crispy, or tavern style. Buy one, get one. All from our friends at Palermo's. Flavor is our family's business.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I mean, pumpkin seeds.
No. Little suckers. They might be. What did you say before, Jen?
Sesame but those seeds. Are white. Like, yeah.
No,
white.
These aren't white. No, this isn't on the outside. This is on the inside.
Seeds on the inside.
Oh, yeah. So you've got some sort of, like...
Scrotum.
On 94.5 ESPN.
We are just about 10 minutes away from superb Owl Squares here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We do it every single year, the week of the big game. We got trivia from our friend Paul Hembakidis over at ESPN Radio. You know him as Hembo. He has given us a long list of questions this morning to hopefully have some winners to fill out our superb Owl Squares board. So get your dialing fingers ready. We will do that in about 10 minutes. And again, at 8:45 this morning, two chances for you guys to win this morning. Chew, do you remember superb Owl Squares? Do you remember that we do this every year?
I do. What is it, the fifth year running? Fifth or sixth? Fifth year?
Is it really? How long has this show been on?
We're in our fifth year.
Huh. Okay.
This is your idea. Take a victory lap.
No, I'm just, again, I'm yeah, I suppose we have been doing the show for 5 years.
Yeah. 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 It'll be five full years in the fall. But
the only thing I remember about Super Bowl Squares.
What was that?
Mr. Vandalay. is the questions are difficult, to say the least. Matter of fact, I was
paging through some of them. You know, I think there's a pretty good mix of easy and hard.
Gabe, one year we ran out of questions.
Yeah, one year I had to come up with my own, yeah.
All right, now, so I've only been around this program now going on my second year. And
just
this
so you know, Gabe was like, what color are the Green Bay Packers?
This isn't my first time doing it, and it's not just for me, but what is involved here? You've said superb Owl Squares. How do you win? How do you enter? What's the deal?
For that, I'm going to rely on Gabe Knight.
Oh,
he
great.
Handles the details.
A lot of putting on the spots today. A lot of them.
Oh, because you had to do, because you had to drive the bus. By the way, we did have folks weighing in on the Carbless Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776, saying, I can't believe I missed Chewy driving the bus. That
YouTube.
From Mitch in the 920. Yes, it will be available on YouTube if you care to watch.
So basically the way Superb Owl Squares will work is we've got these list of trivia questions, and we'll do it twice a day. Whoever gets one of the questions correct will get 10 squares on our Superb Owl Squares board. We'll have a prize pack that is still TBD, I believe, of what is all going to be in the prize pack. But, you know, it's just like any other squares board. You know, you've got the numbers that are corresponding, whatever the final score of the big game is on Sunday. That's going to be our big winner.
Yes, you get a question right. If you get a question right, you get randomly assigned 10 spots. There will be no favoritism. It'll just be picked blindly, probably by me. And
it's a pretty solid guess by you there.
We'll put the numbers in after. So you will have basically a 1 in 10 chance
to
win.
And we post the board on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter account so you can see the board going into the big game so you know what outcome you are rooting for. And we've put together a nice little prize pack here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, so we don't give away all our little secrets, but we have put together a nice little prize pack for our loyal listeners. So again, let's get back to something we have teased a couple of times this morning. It was Saturday night. I believe it was Friday night?
It was Saturday night.
Saturday night, okay. So it's 11:30-ish. I'm in bed, okay? Cool gal over here, sleeping, 11:30. I get a phone call from my husband who's in the living room watching television.
So the call was coming from inside the house.
Literally. I go, why are you calling me? He goes, Luka Doncic has been traded. Luka Doncic. I was like, what? He goes, they traded him to the Lakers for Anthony Davis. And I was like, thank you for telling me.
What would have, hold on, Jen. What would have been big enough news in order for him to be okay doing that?
It's a great question. It's a great question. He's dying.
That's it?
I mean, there's nothing in the sports world at 11:30 on a Saturday.
Yes, Jordan Love gets traded.
Giannis gets traded.
Yeah.
Okay, you're right.
You would have been like, are you kidding me?
You're right.
I've added a new thing to my off season. One was, I'm not listening to whatever the Bears say.
Right.
Yep.
That's done. I'm not listening in training camp about the defensive line.
Right.
Yep.
And I'm no longer listening to Gabe when it comes to the Milwaukee Bucks.
You've been saying that for years. That's not new.
You've
already arrived at this conclusion. You forgot that you arrived at this conclusion, but you've already been there.
Yeah. So just for people who are just tuning in, these are Chewy's New Year's resolutions. He established them on the first show after New Year's this year. They're very good ones. I don't know about the Gabe one because Gabe is our resident Bucks expert.
Can I explain? Yeah, but there's a weed whacker involved now. This came at the end of the production meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I didn't even really need to ask it, but I did. And Gabe gave me pushback. You're trying to tell me that Giannis is better than Jokic.
I think he is as well.
You guys are in. I'm going to breathe a little bit.
Okay.
See, your take would have some weight here if you watched the NBA.
I don't need to.
Now the call is coming from inside the house.
Okay. The only thing you could say to that is defensively. That's it.
Turns out that's half the game.
Not half. It's like 30. It's like NFL. Defense is 33%.
And I think that's a big reason why Luka Doncic was traded, right, guys?
Yeah,
I mean,
it was.
It's because they think he's a defensive liability. We have talked about that. And
he's doughy.
Yeah, that also is Chewy. Honestly, that was another part of the reason they traded him.
Yeah.
They didn't like his conditioning. They were scared about his conditioning and him staying in good enough shape.
Yeah, you could tell he doesn't work out just by looking at him.
And still, though, this was one of those seismic trades that sent shockwaves through the NBA because he still is one of the top five players in the league, isn't he?
There are five players who have made five All-NBA first teams. He's one of them. And he's the youngest by far. He's 25 years old.
See, that's the other thing, man. We've had all these conversations here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy about Brian Gutekunst and moving on from guys when they get to a certain age or not being interested in guys when they get to a certain age. By all accounts, by any metric, Luka Doncic has a lot of basketball in front of him. And to be one of the best at this stage, it did seem startling. And so what we were trying to figure out in our production meeting this morning was, what type of move in Wisconsin would you feel the way that Mavs fans feel, the way that NBA fans feel this morning and yesterday about Luka Doncic being sent to the Lakers for Anthony Davis? Like, and so the only thing we could come up with was if the Packers traded Jordan Love. If the Packers traded Jordan Love, a young talent, a guy who is ascending, maybe he's not everything that you as a fan hoped he would be right now, but that would be the move, right?
I don't even think that's it. Like, this guy's one of the top five players in the sport. Like, Jordan's not there yet. Like, Jordan is, I would say Jordan is our guy for the majority of the fan base, but not everybody, right? I mean, this would be like if the Bucks traded Giannis when he was 25, 26. Like, Giannis was our
2017
guy.
2017, that trade would have to happen?
Yeah, like, 18? Giannis was our guy. We watched him grow up. He was, this is going to be the guy that leads us to championships. It'd be like if they decided to trade Brett before you guys won the Super Bowl, when everybody already started, you know, latching onto him, too, after you guys went to the NFC Championship game in 95, we're going to trade Brett. What?
So why would Dallas do it? I mean, I know he probably doesn't work hard enough, clearly, by looking at his body.
Mm-hmm.
You think they just had enough? Because Anthony Davis is on the back end.
Yeah. So I think part of it, I think it mostly comes down to, Chew, is they are betting that his best basketball is behind him. That the work ethic, that the work ethic, that the inability to stay in shape. Those types of things are going to hamper him. Like, he's already missed. He hasn't played since Christmas because he's been dealing with an injury. He's missed a bunch of games already this year. So they're betting that that's going to continue to be an issue, even though he's 25, just about to turn 26.
So they gyred him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A little bit. But okay. But again, it's just, this guy's made five straight All-NBA first teams.
You also have to factor in here just bad general managing, which is something we've talked about with Xavier McKinney and obviously Saquon Barkley now in the Super Bowl. It's easy to forget, too, that Luka Doncic was the large reason, maybe the biggest reason why that team was just in the NBA Finals. I know we talk a lot.
Correct.
We talk a lot of Packers here, probably a lot of Brewers, too. We didn't talk about the NBA Finals, but he was on the precipice.
Well, it was painful.
Right. He was on the precipice of, like, the greatest accomplishment you can really have, aside from, like, Hall of Fame.
A lot of articles out there if you are curious as to some of the reasons, but one of the things that is mentioned repeatedly, guys, is that Doncic was eligible for a five-year, $345 million Supermax contract extension this summer, and there is belief around the league Dallas did not want to commit to that kind of money to Luka Doncic.
Because he would have signed it. Without a doubt, he would have signed it. This, Chewy, all right, imagine this, Chewy.
Yeah.
You're a top five player in the league. You're about to sign this Supermax deal. You get traded. You're now no longer eligible for that. He's losing out on $114 million.
Wow.
Because can't sign the Supermax.
Because the Supermax has to be with the team you got drafted.
Correct.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you guys have started working out for $115 million?
I don't think he was given the choice. It sounds like there were no conversations.
No.
With Luka Doncic as far as like, hey, we might be considering trading you, ship up or shape out type of thing. It sounds like this was a complete blindside.
Yeah, I would imagine he had had various conversations about his work ethic and the way the shape he was in. And it became clear he's not going to do it. For them, at least. He might now.
Our pal Jason Kidd looked shell-shocked during the entire press
the
conference
hand
yesterday.
On the forehead, like, just like
he's got the glasses on, the backwards hat, clearly just woke up out of bed, maybe had a little JD on his way to, like, he's just
friend,
rough no, day.
He's
I was using that very loosely.
He's like, this is a loosely. Simulation. I am living in a simulation. Gotta be. That's the only explanation. Chew, we gotta take a break, bud.
Okay.
We gotta get to Superb Owl Squares. We are obviously late because, you know, hashtag Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We'll take a break. Get your dialing fingers ready. 800-990-3776. If you want to play the first round, we'll have two each day, every day this week of Superb Owl Squares. 800-990-3776. That's the Carbless Talk and Text Line, and that is your cue to call right now.
X-Golf, located at American Family Field, open year-round. It is the place you want to be if you want to be working on your game while we've got all this cold weather outside. It's a unique space because it's overlooking left field inside American Family Field, and they have, of course, just like every other X-Golf you've been to, those state-of-the-art simulators that X-Golf is known for. But what's cool about X-Golf at AM Fan Field, a little bit of a different menu, full bar. The space inside, unlike anything you've ever seen. If you haven't been there, go check it out. Even if you're not a golfer, just have lunch. They've got great lunch specials going on as well. Book your sim. Find out more. XGolfAmFamField.com.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm saying if we collectively, all the people in their cars, all the people listening on the YouTube stream, all the people listening this morning, if we all do it together, there's power in prayer, friends.
Yes, there is. Bless me, Father, for I played man.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Sportsbook is upping its game in a major move for all of the sports bettors out there. Now you can use your Potawatomi Rewards card at most self-service kiosks and at the betting counter. Bet on your favorite sports, earn reward points along the way. Now that is a winning play. You can also play the Squares game at the Potawatomi Sportsbook at all of their kiosks. So check that out as well. Bet above the rest. Learn more at paysbig.com/sportsbook. The Carbless Talk and Text Line is full of folks who want to play Superb Owl Squares. Give me a little music, Joshy. I see Mike in Franklin, first on the line this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Mike. Are you ready to play Superb Owl Squares?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning, Mike. Who is the only quarterback to go 0-4 in the Super Bowl? Who is the only quarterback to go 0-4 in the Super Bowl?
Jim Kelly.
Jim Kelly is a correct answer. Off to a great start. One question, one correct answer.
Wow. That went fast.
That's
good. What she said. So we get rid of that question, number one on here. We do have several pages of questions. I got to be honest, guys. I think that was the easiest one.
No. Disagree.
There is another one here. But that was easy, and then the one that's several down is easy. But otherwise, they're pretty tough. So congratulations to Mike and Franklin. You're our first big winner this morning on Superb Owl Squares. Remember, we will play twice each day, 7:45 and 8:45, every morning to fill up our board. So if you didn't get through this time, go ahead and call us again in about an hour. Matt weighing in on the Carbless Talk and Text line as we continue talking about the blockbuster Lakers-Mavericks trade says, the only thing that's equivalent to this is when we traded Ray Allen for Gary Payton and Desmond Mason, my 10-year-old heart is still broken. Gabe, does that feel like a fair comp?
Ray was really good. He's a future Hall of Famer. At no point was Ray Allen one of the top five players in the sport. I think from a surprise standpoint, that one holds a little bit of water because at this point, if there's a trade that happens, we kind of get like a hunch, right? Like there's run-up to it. Oh, rumors of this guy could get traded, right? There's some sort of breadcrumbs out there. Nobody saw this coming. Absolutely nobody saw this coming. And I think that adds to the shock value of it because typically, like when Kevin Durant got traded, one of the times that he got traded, we kind of knew that Kevin Durant was looking to get out of wherever he was previously. So that's where the shock value of this coming out of nowhere also feeds into how big it ends up being.
But that's because he didn't get along with Carl, right?
That's correct.
That's why that went down?
That's correct.
Has there been a Packer trade that's even been close? I can't think of anybody.
No, because, I mean, especially like trading players for other players in the NFL is just still a very new thing.
Like, the only thing you can even, in terms of gravity, is the Aaron Rodgers thing, but we all knew that. He announced it, and there was years of acrimony. And it wasn't like a young up and, like, it wasn't a 25-year-old.
Exactly.
It was a nearly 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers. Like, I can't even, like, maybe the Bucks, and you would have to go to, like, I mean, Dame was a shock. But Dame's also back end of career.
Yeah, but also, like, you knew Dame was going to get traded from Portland.
Right. If you would have started a list of players to be traded, I don't think Luka would have made anyone's.
No.
Which makes it so interesting.
Well, let me take it one step further, guys, because the Bucks have been in conversations, maybe rumored to be talking. I don't think it's ever been as full as they are rumored to be, you know, in on this player specifically, which is kind of a Bucks thing, right? We don't ever really hear those specifics when it comes to the Milwaukee Bucks. But there were other trades made this weekend. There were other players that were moved, some of which internet prognosticators have wanted the Bucks to try to make a run at. Gabe, after what you saw this week, do you feel like the Bucks are likely not going to make a move ahead of the trade deadline?
Kind of feels that way. Zach LaVine was the guy that they had been linked to, and he got traded in a different move where De'Aaron Fox got traded yesterday from the Kings. LaVine had been playing for the Bulls, part of a three-way deal there. So it kind of feels like the market's drying up for wing players that the Bucks would certainly be interested in.
I mean, to me, it doesn't really feel like Anthony Davis is sticking in Dallas.
Really? Why?
I don't know. Aren't they in a rebuild now?
No, they think that they can win with Kyrie and Anthony Davis.
So Kyrie becomes the primary ball handler, one.
Mm-hmm.
And then two, Davis is one of the best two-way players in the league.
When he's healthy.
Well, sure, yeah. Me too.
That's another guy that's hurt a lot.
Yes, correct. You're gambling a lot on the health of guys that have not been healthy.
I don't see that.
You know what's crazy is that nobody else knew this was going on. It's not like they were shopping Luka, right?
Because they would have gotten more.
Right. So that was what was weird about it. It was like they honed in on what they wanted and then were like, here, we're going to give you this guy. Because this would have leaked, obviously. There would have been rumblings of this had other teams been let in the circle, the trust tree, right? Hey, we're shopping Luka. What would you guys put together for Luka? Well, then, you know, we're talking about it on Thursday and Friday and not, you know, at 11:30 on Saturday. So that was the other thing that was interesting about it. And that's where some people think it was mismanaged.
Yeah, and maybe the Mavs just thought, okay, if we shop him around, then he starts kind of doing what Jimmy Butler's doing right now with the Heat. Oh, I won't sign an extension there. Oh, I'm going to opt in here. I'm not going to do what you want there, and kind of manipulate their way, where this way, at least they seem like they've got some sort of control. Hey, we're getting what we want back in Anthony Davis, and we're good with that.
Tim weighing in and saying, this is the Bucks trading Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
But Kareem wanted out. Kareem asked out. That's
from
the difference.
A seismic standpoint.
Oh, from a seismic standpoint, sure. But like, again,
and you were mentioning the tiers of players, yeah. And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar obviously at that time was in that same echelon as Luka.
Correct. But like, Kareem also wanted out. By no account did Luka want out.
Are the Lakers relevant now?
Not this year. Because now they've got a giant hole in the middle of their defense. They've got no rim protection. But they've got a plan for post-LeBron. Like, they just went and got a 25-year-old superstar when their 40-year-old, who knows how long he plays. So they've got a post-LeBron plan, which is huge for them. Not great in the short term, but huge for them going forward.
Yeah.
Joshie and I are just working on a poll to throw on the old Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still a lot of stuff to get to in the second hour of the show. We're talking about seismic trades. The most significant in the Milwaukee sports space. Someone threw out Ray Allen. Kareem has been mentioned as well. Dustin on the Carbless Talk and Text line suggests when the Brewers acquired CC Sabathia, as opposed to, you know, giving away an asset when they acquired an asset. Maybe that gets put on there. I agree with you guys. I don't think that the Brett Favre trade, the Aaron Rodgers trade, I don't think those qualify because there was so much frustration from one side, from both sides, however you want to look at it, and therefore it became inevitable that those moves needed to take place. This was one that, again, was like, what? Did Shams get hacked? Did this really happen? We'll continue this conversation and more on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy right after this.